Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Matt Jolly from Warbird Radio Live. You know, this April, the surviving Doolittle Tokyo Raiders will be gathering in Dayton, Ohio for their 70th reunion. They'll be joined by survivors from the USS Hornet and citizens from China who helped them escape. Visit warbirdradio.com/raiders and help bring as many B-25s back to the reunion as possible. That's warbirdradio.com/raiders. warbirdradio.com/raiders and donate some B-25 gas money today.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Reminding you that radio engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Hey, folks. Welcome to the Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on February 15th, 2012. And we're joining you this evening, as we always are, talking about Warbirds here on warbirdradio.com. I'm your co-host, Ryan Keough, and joining me is Zane Adams from Fort Worth, Texas area, our host. Zane, how are you doing this evening?
I'm well. Ryan, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing well here. I'm hoping that we've got a bunch of listeners out there that were nice to their sweeties yesterday and gave them something nice so that they can be forgiven for the amount of air shows they attend for the rest of the year and all the extra time and money that they spend on aviation and Warbird-related stuff.
What that day's for?
I call it Redemption Day, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, and just full disclosure, you know, yes, I have a sweetie, and we did, you know, Valentine's Day, but then tomorrow is my significant other sweetie's birthday, so I get the double whammy, so everybody out there feel sorry for me, that'd be great. So.
Poor Zane. We'll take up a pity collection for you later in the show. So, well,
it's okay. I'm used to it. You know, I've been around this situation long enough, but it's always fun.
You obviously have a good wife that cares about your interests in Warbirds, which is great, and likes it, and so, you know, you're a lucky man, Zane. So
I am indeed a lucky man. Thanks, Ryan.
That is good. For those of you who are listening in tonight, we're taking your calls this evening. If you want to call into the studio, you can give us a ring at 478-787-4768 to contact us via the phone and talk to us here in the studio live, or you can jump on to the Warbird Radio live chat on warbirdradio.com. Just go over to the live chat link on the right-hand side under the Listen Live button, and you can join us there and type out your questions and join in the fun over there. If you can't reach a phone, we'll be taking your chats throughout the entire show, or you can jump over onto the Warbird Radio Facebook page, and you can ask questions over there if you'd like to during the show as well. We'll be monitoring all of them. We do have a guest this evening, and I'll let Zane do the intro on our special guest for this evening.
Yeah, our guest tonight, known on Facebook as Johnny Liberator, a.k.a. Chris Trowbridge. He's the PR guy for the B-29, B-24 wing of the Air Force there. Sorry, Chris, have a hard time getting away from that after so many years, but how are you tonight, Chris?
Not too bad. How are you doing tonight, Zane?
Doing well. Well, here the B-29 and B-24 are up and flying and ready to go out of winter maintenance. Everything went well.
Well, the 29 is up and running, and now that we've got her going, we have actually just taken down the 24 for winter maintenance.
Oh.
So we decided to stagger them a little bit this year just to give our maintenance personnel one airplane at a time to focus on.
Well, they're both a big job, so I imagine that the crew chief there appreciates it. So.
Yeah, the maintenance guys are very happy to... We've been flying the 24 all winter, not as much as we'd like to, but we got a couple new people qualified for her, so, you know, time for her to get her loving now that we're about ready to kick Fifi out of the barn next week.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about your maintenance team there, Chris. I know you've got a new crew chief on board.
Well, actually, he's not necessarily a new crew chief. Dave Miller left us, I guess it was November, maybe early December this year, to take on a new position elsewhere. And we took Rick Garvis, who's been with us for, I think, 3 years now, if not a little bit longer. And he had kind of been associate crew chief, assistant crew chief, however you want to phrase it. And he's taken over the sole responsibility of both airplanes as crew chief. And we've hired one of our former volunteers, now a paid member, paid staff member, who's come on to help us out. And then probably our 15 diehard volunteers that, you know, I hope they were treating their wives right last night, as you and Ryan were kind of joking about. Because some of those guys put in 40, 50, 60 hours a week out at the hangar. And we could not do it without those volunteers, you know. Rick and Don, and they're all great guys, don't get me wrong. But those two airplanes are real big airplanes. And more help we have, the better.
Well, and I've met Rick a couple of times. I don't know if we necessarily know each other or he knows me, but I've met him a couple of times. He's a stalwart guy and a good mechanic, I believe, and a good guy. So couldn't ask for a better caretaker. And I know he's familiar with the airplanes. He's been around working under Davis tutelage there for a long time. So that's good news for the airplanes. So.
And even before Rick came to us, he had worked on contract with Lone Star Aviation or Lone Star Museum down in Galveston. And prior to that, he worked on a DC-3 operation. So the guy has been around airplanes and Pratt & Whitney's for a long time. So it wasn't much of a stretch for him to step in and assume the leadership role.
And that's kind of a rarity to find somebody, too, that has professional knowledge, you know, with operations this way. Because, I mean, really, honestly, the ranks of people who have experience working on these kind of aircraft, it's a dwindling rank to begin with. And then, you know, of course, everybody's got the lure of working for the big kerosene burner, you know, companies out there to make a little bit more money. So I guess that's a very fortunate find to be able to have him working full time with you guys at this point. I've got a quick question. I mean, what do you foresee? You know, how long do you think the B-24 will be out of the tour schedule for winter maintenance, and when do you foresee her coming back onto the schedule again?
To keep our maintenance officer and Rick happy, I'm going to phrase it this way: barring any unforeseen instances, we're really hoping she'll only be down. Now, so about 2 months, give or take, because she did fly about 50 to 60 hours last year is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take us some time, but she is also a much simpler aircraft in many respects to do the inspection and maintenance on than the 29. So we officially set have pretty much set our ground school, and I'm obviously not ready to announce those dates yet. But that's in April, and we're really hoping that to be able to combine our ground school and at least get a couple guys current the day after our ground school. So that's our hope. And like I said, to keep Rick and Don, our crew chief, and our maintenance officer happy, I make sure I paraphrase it, barring anything unforeseen coming up.
Of course.
That works. That works. Now, we have seen some you know, plans that were coming out, I mean, about some possible rebranding of the B-24. Will that take place during the winter maintenance, or is that something that's still in the process of being worked out at this point?
When it comes out of winter maintenance, some people might be surprised.
So we'll hold it as a surprise part for that.
That's a good tease there, Chris.
That's a very good the sign of a good PIO is being able to phrase it appropriately, and you've done it well. So
you would be surprised at the number of people who have tried to get me talking over the past couple weeks.
They've been buying you beers, haven't they?
Unfortunately, not enough money's been offered yet. Now, if somebody has enough money, then we can talk. But she is going to come out of winter maintenance with some modifications that many of us feel are a good compromise amongst all people involved.
Cool.
So there will be some very noticeable changes.
Well, that's a good teaser for everybody out there, at least. Well, getting back on the B-29, you know, obviously everybody knows. Well, most people probably know the entire story of the re-engineering project that brought her back into the flying condition over the last year, and now you've had, I believe, almost a good almost 2 years on the new engines. How are they performing for you guys? And you know, now that she's emerging from maintenance, you know, what's the grade, I guess you could say, on how they're doing and how they're holding up on the tour scheme?
We have put on roughly 200 hours on the new engines over the past year and a half-ish with that first abbreviated year. And we have had very, very, very few problems with the engines. They have been amazingly reliable. The best example to show the reliability that we were hoping for and that we really got was last year at the Mid-Atlantic World War II air show or days. I don't remember exactly how they phrased their air show. Over the course of 3 days, I believe we did something like 24, 25 passenger flights.
Wow.
Over the course of those 3 days. And 10 years ago, if we would have even thought about doing something like that, we would have been shooting ourselves in the foot. those old engines just never could have done it. Where this year, you know, last year, we were very aggressive with her, and she performed beautifully.
Yeah, well, I've heard the number, Chris, that you guys have done close to 100 revenue flights since the new engines. Is that? But think about that, Brian.
No, it wasn't even 100 since the new engine. It was 101 passenger flights last year.
Mm.
So we've probably done 130 or so, 140. I haven't sat down to take a look, but it was 101 passenger flights last year.
There you go.
Wow.
So, and our goal last year, and I'll be the first to admit, our finance officer said, here is our goal for this year, 100 passenger flights.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of raised my eyebrow and said, wow, we're being awfully ambitious here. But like I said, she performed beautifully, and a lot of the credit goes to Dave, Rick, our volunteers, the five folks over at Vintage Flying Museum who housed us through part of June and into July, all of our flight crews, you know, our squadron is nearly 300 members, and it's a good thing it's nearly 300 members because there's a lot of work to go just on that one airplane. Last year wasn't so good for the B-24. We had some maintenance issues there, but hopefully this year we'll bring time with her and be even more busy this year.
Well, I mean, you guys take a lot of people on the road with you when you go. You've got a tremendous PX that goes with the airplane, and I was amazed to see that operation operation in full swing there, July 4th weekend over there at Meacham Field. It was just amazing, and you certainly have a dedicated group there. So, you've got a new pilot or two, and maybe a new flight engineering training. Is that correct?
We're always training new pilots. I honestly don't know who has completed their checkouts. I do know a couple guys who are transitioning, so I'm not going to say who's where in this aspect because I honestly don't know.
Okay. There's a pretty swift fellow that's working, I think, on the flight engineer training. So hopefully, I think he could probably pull it off once he gets some time under his belt.
We'll see how the engine starts are. That's the key to all this. I want to see him do the engine starts.
It sounds like that's the big challenge. You know, a lot of people say, you know, that if you can taxi a B-25, you can fly it. I guess in the B-29's thing, if you can start the engines, then maybe you can fly it.
That's the trick, Ryan, is this guy that starts the motors doesn't do the flying. He gets to tell the pilots what to do. So
I was talking
to one of your flight engineers, some pilgrim guy, this weekend about it. He says it's the busiest he's ever been in his whole entire life, he thinks. It makes C-130 and C-17 crew job look easy, you know. He said, plus you're sitting backwards and all the controls are backwards and, you really got to hand it to the flight engineer in that machine for sure.
And the amazing thing, and you could have knocked me over with a feather the first time I heard it, but the pilots actually recognize that the flight engineer is more important than they are in this airplane. And you know, for a pilot to say the flight engineer is important, you know that's saying something right there.
Oh, we can't say that too loud because, I mean, there are a lot of pilots that listen to this, and you know, we're sorry, folks. Chris doesn't know quite what he's saying, but it's true.
Well, it's certainly a dance, a nice waltz they do, apparently. So
that's cool.
It truly is amazing to watch the flight engineers as they start the engines and as we go through the whole procedure. I've only flown up in the cockpit a couple times. Usually I'm in the back of the airplane working. But the couple times I do, I just look over at John Schauer or Dave or Rick or Brad or whoever's sitting in that seat. And I just shake my head and say, you know, someday I'd love to do that, but not right now.
Well, for those of you who are tuning in and listening to us this evening, you're listening to the Wix Warbird Weekly live here on Warbird Radio. It is the February 15th show, and we're speaking tonight with Chris Trowbridge, also known as Johnny Liberator on Facebook. He is the public information officer, the PIO, for the Commemorative Air Force B-29 and B-24 Squadron. We're speaking about the beginning of the tour season with the B-29 Super Fortress Fifi beginning next week as she works her way to Florida to attend the big show at Sun and Fun and then and back, and also about the plans for the B-24 Liberator, the B-24A model for the season here. As we're talking, one of the things that you kind of mentioned was the amount of rides that you did last year with the B-29 and how you made the goal and such. How is demand shaping up for the aircraft this year, for coming in? Because, I mean, we all hear that, well, the economy is beginning to improve a little bit more, and obviously a lot of nonprofits are looking, you know, at that, hopefully with some crossed fingers and hoping that donations will be starting to come down the way, too. Has your demand been, you know, fairly high for the aircraft and for rides for this year? As you begin the tour season?
The demand right now, our advance bookings are pretty much about where they were, maybe a little higher than they were last year at this time. Basically, when we see the big flurry of the activity on buying rides, with the exception of major air shows. A lot of the rides kind of are impulse buys where the news covers us coming into wherever, and they come out, oh, wow, I can ride on this, how much, and whip out their credit card, and we're more than happy to work with them. So right now, it's about where we anticipate. To be perfectly honest, we're a little surprised that with our attendance at the Tyco Air Show this year and then Sun and Fun, we don't have more advanced bookings for those particular events yet. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to Sun and Fun or the Tyco Warburg Show, maybe you just haven't heard yet and you'd like to buy a ride. If so, we can make that happen. Yeah, all you have to do is go onto our website, ridebq9.com, and we'll be more than happy to show you exactly when and where we'll be.
Now, you guys leave on tour next week. First stop, Mobile, Alabama. And where else are you going on?
Well, we're going to Mobile, depending on the weather, either Wednesday or Thursday of next week. And then we'll be in Mobile for the weekend. Then we're going to pop over to Gainesville, beginning of the week, on the 27th and 28th of February. And then we're going to head over to Daytona International and hang out with our friends at the CAF Florida wing there at Daytona Beach.
Right.
Then we're going to head over to Titusville for the Tyco Warburg Show. We're actually getting to Tyco on the 8th of March and going to spend about 4 or 5 days there. Then we're going to go over to Fort Lauderdale, spend some time in Fort Lauderdale.
Are you at Fort Lauderdale Exec or Fort Lauderdale International Airport? Because a lot of people get those
two. We are at Executive.
Okay. Are you going to be at Banyan?
And all the information on the specifics is right on our website, even including the name of the FBO that's hosting us.
Beautiful.
But like I said, Fort Lauderdale Executive at Mobile, we're going to be at the downtown airport.
Okay.
And then we're going to be going to the Florida International Air Show at Point Gorda, Florida.
Great.
And then Sun and Fun wants us. So, you know, we'll take our big airplane into Sun and Fun. That is going to actually be a red, white, and loud stop. Aaron Tiffin, one of our pilots, country music star, will be there. I don't know if he's planning on flying it in or whatever, but he'll certainly be there. He'll be performing during the weekend. I'm not sure on the date of that, to be perfectly honest. And then on the way home, we'll stop in Tallahassee and come home on Good Friday.
Cool. Very cool.
And you're going to have some top cover along the way, aren't you?
Well,
we're
going to Florida, and there's this new guy over Catamount. Guy you might know called Chuck Gardner. And he's a Mustang pilot. And you know how Mustang pilots are. So we asked Doug Jeans over at Cavanaugh, see if they'd like to come with us. So we're going to be having a true P-51 Warbird veteran. The Brat is a true veteran, and she will be flying with us for the entire tour. They'll be more than happy to sell rides, sell you a T-shirt or two and all that. So not only do you get to see the world's only flying B-29, but you get a chance to see a true veteran, the Brat.
And it's a good opportunity for people who want to experience both sides. If they want to experience Bomber Command and Fighter Command, they can have both of them right there in one spot.
So yeah, and if you folks out there on the road have not seen the Brat, that P-51, he spent a lot of time, 4 years out at Nelson Ezel's place in the Cavanaugh Museum. Nelson and the Cavanaugh guys together have done a tremendous job. That airplane is a sparkling jewel for sure. It's a beautiful, beautiful airplane, and you guys need to get out and see her when she's out there with the B-29. Of course, it's a beautiful airplane.
Well,
she really is. I'm looking forward. I just wish I could be along on the trip to look out one of the blisters or out the tail and see her in the air right alongside of us. So unfortunately, this whole real job thing has to take precedent.
Yeah, don't you hate when that happens?
It's just not fair.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, that actually brings me up to a quick question I have, because you have, and I only say this because I did it for you know, quite a few years as an employee of another organization that toured bomber aircraft around the country, and you know, the PIO PR job is one of the weirdest and probably one of the most thankless jobs sometimes, and one of my pet peeves always was dealing with greenhorn media folks and you know, trying to get the story straight and that kind of stuff. I always like to ask, you know, folks like you, what's your story of the most let's say problematic working with the media, or the story that they botched up the most, and you know, the kind of, well, not funny at the time, but funny when you look at it back of all the comedy of errors that they had into it. Do you have any special little stories in regards to that at all?
Oh, that list is long and glorious, as you well know. But I think my favorite one was watching a newscast, and they did a short interview with me. They showed some aerial footage. And then they said, you two can come out and see the airplane that bombed Pearl Harbor.
That's a good one.
This was a late evening news, so the 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, I don't even remember which location we were at. And I was rooming with Dave Miller at the time, and we were on the balcony having a beer. And I looked at the beer, and I said, Dave, how many have I had? He's like, oh, you've only had one or two. And I said, because I could have sworn they just said we bombed Pearl Harbor. He's like, that's what you heard. I'm like, okay, we need to correct that one.
Hey, before we go any further, we do have a caller on the line, and I just want to make sure we get them on the on to ask a question. Caller, you're on the air with the Wix Warbird Weekly Live and Chris Trubridge from the CAF B-29 and B-24 wing. What's up?
Hi, how you doing? I actually didn't have a question. I saw on Facebook that you were on live, and thought I'd call in. I didn't know if Matt was there. This is Opie, formerly of Viper West, now with Black Diamond Jet Team.
Oh, hi, Opie. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Very well. You enjoying, retirement?
I am. Yes, I am, actually. I'm enjoying retirement. I'm actually down in Lakeland, Florida for the week. We're starting on winter training with the Black Diamond Jet Team, and it's going really well.
Great. Great. Sounds like you've landed on your feet, so to speak.
I have, and I apologize. I didn't know you had a guest on. I know you were expecting a question, and maybe I'll call back another time. I don't want to interrupt your guest because, you know, people probably want to hear him more than me. You know, I saw you on live. I figured I'd call in. I haven't called for a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to grab us, you feel free to give us a buzz back right after the half of the hour, and we'd love to chat with you a little bit. If you want to give us a buzz back here in about, give or take 10 minutes or so, that would be great.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you guys a buzz back in about 10 or 15 minutes. It's been a while since I've been on Warbird Radio Live, and I love talking to you folks.
Sounds like a plan. I appreciate it, Opie. We'll be back with him after the break here, but we're still on the phone with Chris Trowbridge from the B-24 wing of the CAF, Commemorative Air Force, based out of Addison, Texas here, and they'll be beginning their B-29 tour with Fifi as of next week, and then the B-24 a little bit later in the spring. Chris, for people who are not aware of the program and the tour schedule and such, what's the best way they can learn about the aircraft and learn about where you guys are heading off to and connecting with you guys?
Best thing to do is just go right onto our website, CAFB29B24.org, and on our top menu we've got one tab that says B-24 tour schedule, And we've got another tab that says B-29 tour schedule. And it pretty much, as soon as we confirm things, we're going to put them up there and start adding to them. And I'll go ahead and tease a couple people, because I was given permission today to give our Canadian friends a heads up that they will have a B-29 in Canada in the middle of June this year.
Great news.
So I know the guys up at the Canadian Warplane Heritage Museum will be more than happy to spread the news, but we will be attending their show this year.
Wow, that's fantastic.
That is great.
Will you be able to offer rides out of that location as well up there?
What we're going to do, and we have not finalized all the details yet, but what we're going to do, we don't think we'll be able to actually do the rides in Canada. So what we believe we're going to be allowed to do, or what we're going to do, is head over to someplace around like Niagara Falls or Buffalo, somewhere relatively close, and do rides in and out of there right before or after, and then do the show itself. But we just suspect at this point that rides in Canada would start getting things real tricky for everybody involved. So,
I would say that it's... Sorry about that. I keep stepping on you there. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry about that.
No, I was just going to say, and if we end up doing Niagara Falls, I wouldn't be surprised to see us in the vicinity of the falls and actually looking down over the falls on ride flights. And that would be a really neat experience. I did that a couple years ago with our B-24 when we were up in the same area. And that's just an amazing scene to look down on.
That is, and the fact also, I mean, you have to look at the history too of the airport up there, with its history with Curtis and Bell specifically out of the Niagara Falls airport there. The fact that the designers that created the X-1 were most likely in that building, and later on when the X-1 was dropped from a B-29, that's kind of an interesting full circle kind of thing up there. So it's a very great opportunity up there, and I hope that does come to fruition, because I know there's a lot of folks in Canada that would probably love to fly on board the B-29 and the only one flyable and get an opportunity to fly. And I can almost bet that probably some of your folks would probably want to fly in a Lancaster too, so it might be an interesting trade-off.
I was going to say there might be a trade discussed here and there, but strictly off the books, of course.
Of course.
It'd sure be great to see those two birds together in the air. I mean, I don't know if they've ever flown together. I mean, it'd be neat to see.
It's possible they flew back when they used to bring their airplanes down to Harlingen in the day. I'd have to defer to somebody like Matt Jolly, who's been around longer than I have, to see if they ever did.
I just don't remember the Lancaster ever being down there, but may have. I didn't make every show, of course, but... it may have, but that's a scoop there. I appreciate letting us know about that, Chris.
Absolutely. But we're going to take a quick break here, but we want to thank Chris Trowbridge for jumping on board this evening and being our guest this evening. Again, if you are interested in learning more about the B-29 and B-24 wing of the CAF and the B-29 Super Fortress's 2012 tour schedule, jump online at cafb29b24.org for their tour schedule updated whenever they get a new one, and you'll be able to keep tabs on the aircraft and also learn how you can fly on board the B-29 or B-24 during the 2012 tour season. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Chris.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
We appreciate you coming on, Chris.
Have a great night.
All right.
We're going to take a quick break, folks, but when we come back, we'll be talking more about Warbirds and some news that's taken place over the last couple of weeks in the Warbird industry. So make sure and join us back here at WIX Warbird Weekly Live here on warbirdradio.com.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Hey,
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Matt Jolly from Warbird Radio Live. You know, this April, the surviving Doolittle Tokyo Raiders will be gathering in Dayton, Ohio for their 70th reunion. They'll be joined by survivors from the USS Hornet and citizens from China who helped them escape. Visit warbirdradio.com/raiders and help bring as many B-25s back to the reunion as possible. That's warbirdradio.com/raiders. warbirdradio.com/raiders and donate some B-25 gas money today.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Reminding you that radio engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Hey, folks. We're back with the Wix Warbird Weekly live here on Warbird Radio. It's the February 15th, 2012 show, and I'm Ryan Keough, along with our host, Zane Adams, for the show this evening, and we're speaking about Warbirds and talking about the latest news and such. If you're joining us late, we had Chris Trowbridge, the Public Information Officer for the Commemorative Air Force B-29 and B-24 Squadron based in Addison, Texas, talking about the B-29 upcoming tour that starts next week, along with the B-24 that'll be joining on later on. So if you want to catch us on the rebroadcast, you can certainly do that, or you can jump onto warbirdradio.com after the broadcast and download the podcast of the show at any time to listen to it at your leisure. You just go to warbirdradio.com and go to the Wix Warbird Weekly show page, and you'll be able to look through our entire archives and download anything at any point. If you're tuning into us this evening, you can give us a call here, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768 to join us in the conversation, or you can jump on orbitradio.com onto our live chat and ask your questions there if you're unable to make it to a phone during that time period. But we're glad to have you on board with us here. Zane, one of the things that we haven't talked about actually in the last couple of shows here, but big news out of Everett, Washington, one of the rarest warbirds ever has finally made it onto U.S. turf, and that is the Aleutian Isle 2 Stormovic that was just brought back in the United States by goodness.
Flying Heritage.
The Flying Collection. Heritage Collection. Yes, I had it right on the tip of my tongue right there, and I have it right in front of me here. Flying Heritage Collection, which is obviously the major project that Paul Allen, Microsoft's Paul Allen, supported. But what an amazing bit of news that's finally here on the United States, and we'll probably be taking to the skies over the next couple of months, hopefully crossing our fingers.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's going to be flying in their summer flight program. I think the rumor has it first flight it may go up with a zero, with their zero, I believe, or one of their other really cool airplanes that they have in the Flying Heritage Collection. I mean, they've got their choices over there. It could be a Messerschmitt or anything, but it's on the, off the boat and being put together now. They're putting the wings on it and getting ready to go. It's definitely exciting news, and I know it's not going to. I'm going to have, if you're going to see it, most likely you're going to have to go there. I don't know if they're going to tour the airplane or not. I don't know if they bring Flying Heritage Collection brings anything out to Oshkosh or anything like that, but you know, it's definitely up in the northwest part of the United States up there. If you're ever up in Seattle, it's a good collection to go see, and you know, hope to see the IL fly soon.
Plus, I mean, that area, I mean, there's just so much to see aviation-wise up there, you know, for every, you know, bit of aviation interest out there, from warbirds to homebuilts to, well, the largest the largest commercial aircraft manufacturer in the world. Boeing, obviously, has such a huge collection up there as well, of everything that's being built, new and old, plus the Museum of Flight. So it's well worth the trip to go up there, but... I will say, you know, probably of all the stories that we've gotten this year from the warbird industry, this is probably the biggest sleeper. I mean, it literally came from nowhere when people started seeing the YouTube videos of the airplane actually flying for the first time over in Russia. No one knew. And I think that's what made it so exciting, and for the fact that they literally kept hush hush on it when it was imported here to the United States, and nobody really knew until it was here. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, until it was flying. I mean, you know, it was hush hush for sure. I know it came from Russia, but who knows what else they've got in the works over there? You know, is there a Stuka in the works? You know, that was a little thread on Wix today, you know, that or yesterday, that, you know, that's a little bit of rumor. The Flying Heritage collection has got a Stuka in the works, and who knows? That would be, you know, definitely a coup if they've got that.
That is true.
It works, yeah.
That is true. I mean, and luckily, you know, communication channels, there are not that many Wix members over in Russia. So unfortunately, we don't have our insiders over there to feed us little bits of information like we had our little our sleeper moles down in Texas. But, you know, that's yeah. we'll just have to expand in that territory for the
future. Well, next time I go to Russia, I'll make sure I poke my nose in the hangar and see what's going on over there.
Yes, make sure to bring trade bait in you know, Levi's jeans and Blu-ray players and Xboxes and stuff. I hear that goes a long way too.
Either that or, you know, piles of $20 bills, I think.
That
helps. Get stuff done in a hurry.
That helps as well.
There's one little piece of news, you know, on the Texas front, since you brought it up. The B-58 Hustler from the loans that was belongs to the National Museum of the United States Air Force, of course, but it was at the Lone Star Flight Museum for years. It was in Fort Worth for years before that, and apparently it's been moved recently to Little Rock Air Force Base to go on static display there. It's kind of a shame it's going to be outside again, but, you know, it was damaged in the hurricane, and I think the Lone Star Flight Museum just has more on their plate than the B-58. Mm-hmm. To take care of. So, you know, I believe, I don't know, you know, the inside on why it's left the Lone Star Flight Museum, but I'm just speculating. That's probably what it is, you know, Lone Star Flight Museum still recovering from Hurricane Ike, and, you know, they've got some airplanes that they're still working on and trying to restore and, you know, get back up and flying from that incident. And I imagine they didn't have time or the wherewithal to take care of the B-58. But so
of course,
the Air Force looks like it's moved it to Little Rock. So people, mm-hmm. There's not that many Hustlers out there. So when the one moves, it kind of makes a little bit of news, at least in our sphere of influence anyway. So
that is true. And of course, you know, Lone Star Flight Museum have publicly expressed their plans to move their museum to Ellington Field the time frame, I guess, has not been officially announced yet, but it is currently in the works. So obviously they'll be putting a lot of attention into developing that new facility out there. So at least it's going to a home that can be appreciated. You know, certainly new Air Force officers will certainly appreciate, or officers and enlisted men will appreciate the aircraft and the history that it gives out at Little Rock. So we're hoping that it'll be a good addition and such. I just really wish that the airplane could have flown there, but, you know.
Yeah, me too. There's a lot of us out there that would, you know, get hot and bothered if that happened. But
that is true.
Man, ooh, that's one of those, you know, dream come true things moments. So, you know, I guess just, you know, that's more, you know, a few million dollars and an okay from the Secretary of the Air Force. So,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Get that done and Speaking of the Air Force, I think Opie is back on with us. Opie, you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, very good.
Thanks for giving us a call back and giving us an update on Black Diamond Jet Team for this coming season. You mentioned that looks like the first preseason training is done. What's exciting on the schedule now?
Well, the next couple of weeks we're going to be doing winter training. I mean, all the guys from the team will be down here in Lakeland all weekend this weekend, and then coming back the following weekend, everything leading up to our first show at Tyco in Titusville. As you can imagine, there's a lot of work to be done with the flying, especially because out of the seventh jet to the performance, it's going to be something really new, very dynamic and exciting. Two MiGs, five L-39s, all in that beautiful Arctic camo paint scheme. It's really going to be exciting. I've had the opportunity to really watch the inner workings of how this is put together, because, you know, with Viper West and the ACC teams, all your performance stuff, that's written in like a regulation, a standard. It's this is how it's done. Mm-hmm. I've been privy to watch some phenomenal pilots. I mean, you look at guys like, you know, Dale Snodgrass, Snort, Jerry Jive Kirby, Buick, all these just phenomenal pilots working and building this performance that you're going to see this year. It's been very exciting just to get that inside look. I got to tell you, I can't believe I landed in a position that I am, but man, I am just so happy right now. So happy.
Sounds like it. Sounds like a great opportunity as well. Yeah.
And I'm looking at the schedule that you guys have set up for 2012. And my goodness, I mean, to be out of the gate and to have this many pre-booked shows, this is going to be a busy year for you guys, to say the least.
Yeah, we're I think the full schedule is 20 shows for 2012, and we have a few weekends and like spread out to where we might have a week or two off. And some of those are strategically placed. I mean, we're doing Oshkosh this year, which everyone knows what Oshkosh is. And mm-hmm. with us being down in Florida, getting to Oshkosh, it is very wise not to have a show the weekend prior to Oshkosh, because if you think about it, this many moving parts with seven planes and all the people, there's a lot of planning and logistics that's going to happen that weekend leading into Oshkosh. So we made our breaks in the schedule very strategically, to allow some downtime and to catch up and really plan ahead.
That works beautifully. And in terms of, you know, obviously supporting the aircraft and such, and your maintenance support and logistics primarily, you know, how are the airplanes doing? I mean, mechanically wise, I mean, I know that 39s and the MiG is they're pretty well cared for, obviously. But you know, how did winter maintenance go, and everything coming up to snuff as you come into the season?
Well, winter maintenance is actually still ongoing. Should be done with all the planes here in the next week or two. We have a very, very exceptional maintenance crew down here at Lakeland. Guys like Nathan and Mark, really, they know these jets inside and out, and they are keeping them in great shape. All the little winter type stuff's going on, some scheduled maintenance, some little repairs here and there, touch-up paint. I mean, just all kinds of little things just to make these jets really ready, safe, and airworthy for the show season. We'll be flying this weekend, practicing down here at Lakeland, hopefully to have a lot of jets in the air. And then, we'll be practicing up until the weekend. Fly the Tyco. We'll be practicing that weekend and then hit the road and start the season off with Tyco.
That's great. That is great. Now, you guys obviously picked up the major sponsorship from United Bank Card last year. Will you be doing any special events throughout the entire year, you know, with them as a partner, or, you know, any special opportunities throughout the year with them?
I'm sure there will be some events that come up. However, our sponsor has changed. We are our sponsor this year is actually HarborTouch.
Oh, okay.
HarborTouch is still owned by JDI Holdings,
But yeah, Harbor Touch is actually our official sponsor for the year. And of course, we're still sticking with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which, as we all know, is a very, very important organization. And we're really proud to support them and do everything we can to see that organization move forward and succeed.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's obviously a very inspiring to, you know, see the kids and to be able to help them, you know, get some enthusiasm and obviously, you know, be able to fight the diseases that they're being unfortunately taken at. I mean, it's just such an amazing organization. I've had the privilege to, you know, see some kids take flight that were part of that foundation, and I give my hats off to you guys definitely for supporting that. So that's awesome. That is absolutely awesome.
Absolutely. And you know, my 2 years with Fight the West, which to this day, and I know 20 years from now, I'll tell people when they ask me about my military career that my 2 years on Viper West was the absolute greatest and most rewarding time of my over almost 22 years of the military. And that's part of it. I mean, at these air shows, you meet with these young kids, and it might not be kids that have a terminal illness or any type of handicap, just a normal child or handicap. But you meet these children and these teenagers, and you talk to them for about 2 minutes. And right away, you've made a difference, or you gave them some inspiration, or you've just put a smile on their face. And it's just such a good and powerful feeling to know that you can make that kind of impact on someone's life in just 2 minutes of your time. And what we're doing with the Black Diamond Jet team, with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, it's just gonna expand on that with what I've experienced in Viper West. So yeah, I'm very excited about that aspect of it, because I'm really humbled that I have the opportunity to make an impact like that on someone's life, and I really will never take it for granted. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate the help, and I appreciate also you giving us a buzz this evening. I mean, you are definitely, you're top rank when it comes to enthusiasm for the stuff we saw last year with Viper West. You're so, I mean, this is the kind of thing we never have to call you. You always call us, which is awesome. I love it.
Well, I've always told people, when I was with Viper West, it wasn't a job. I mean, it's life. I take it personal. I live and breathe this. I fell in love with the air show community, and I ain't going away anytime soon. I love it too much.
We got a very quick we had a text message that came in here asking if there is going to be an end of the year video for the I believe it that would be in reference to Viper West. It might be a little inside information. What do you have to say about that?
Wow, if they're asking about an end of the year video.
Oh, no, for Black Diamond next year.
I probably know this person. I got a lot of people to follow me, and yes, I've already been thinking ahead. I mean, I plan on upgrading myself to a nice Mac ProBook laptop with Final Cut, and I think I'm going to get my own GoPro, even though the team flies with a lot of GoPros, and I plan on putting something together, mid-season, and show it to Jive Kirby, who's the team lead and really makes all the decisions on probably what I'm going to be allowed and not allowed to do when it comes to social media and stuff. But I do want to further that. That's something I just kind of fell into with Viper West, but I really enjoyed doing that. I really have taken to making these videos for the fans and the public just to give a better inside look at what we do, and I don't know, it's fun. My answer to the text is, if I have my way, absolutely, I will be making some phenomenal Black Diamond Jet Team videos this year. That is my intent.
That would be great, and that certainly keeps everybody on the Facebook site and such excited too, because that's one of the things that everybody loves to share around is cool videos and that kind of stuff. So keep them coming, because that I know that there are so many charged up aviation fans and air show fans on Facebook and all over the place. It spreads like wildfire whenever you guys put out anything. In fact, I probably remembered last season, there wasn't a single day that went by where I didn't see at least something coming from either Viper West, Black Diamond, or, you know, or any of the things. So, I will say that, you know, keep everybody will consume. Just keep them coming. That's all I can say.
I took a lot of teasing from a lot of the other ACC demo teams because they were kind of complaining to me that the Aerial Vents Facebook page was basically becoming the Viper West and Opie page because I was the only one posting there. But, you know, the social media sites like Facebook or I really don't Twitter, but Facebook, some of the other air show websites, if you're Air Show Buzz, YouTube, it's a very powerful medium just to keep in touch with your fans. And that's one thing that's very important to me is being in touch with the fans, giving them information that I can, because, you know, they really love every once in a while to get an inside look at their favorite performer or their favorite team or hear a story that they would never get a chance to see because they don't have the opportunities we have with being on the inside of this amazing industry. So I like doing that. I like keeping the fans in touch. And if anything, you know what? It makes them more interested. It builds our fan base, and it gets more people to these air shows. And that's what it's all about. These air shows need as many people there as possible. We know the economy's bad. Everyone's looking down. We're giving them a chance to look up, smile, and dream big.
That's awesome, Opie. Well, I appreciate you coming on this evening. We're going to have to close out the show, but folks, thank Carl Opie Falcione from the Black Diamond Jet team for joining us this evening and giving us a fill-in on everything that's going on with the team. And we'll be talking to you next week on behalf of Zane and myself. Have a great night, folks. Take care.